Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. It's hard growing up. So thank you for coming and joining in our Vaisak celebration. I'm most grateful to you. We come together to celebrate the Buddha's life and teaching because he really originated the Dharma, and I think all of us probably can say the Buddha has helped us in some way. The Dharma has helped us in some way. And we come together at Vaisak time to remember the Buddha in particular and express our gratitude for the Dharma and the teaching that he provided for us. One of the interesting things about Buddhism, a little bit different than other religious practices or traditions that you might find in the world, is his profound respect for us, for our ability, for our potential to put the Dharma into practice and find peace within our own hearts and our own life. There's there are various motifs in the early Buddhist canon, things that the Buddha will do on a regular basis, and they have particular meaning. One of the things that he does is at the end of a Dharma talk, he will explain something to people, however mundane or complex spiritually. And at the end of it, he will always say to people, "Now it is time for you to do as you think best." He always makes that offering to us. It is our place, our responsibility, and our right, if you will, to take in the Dharma, make use of it, and put it into practice. And to me, again, that represents the Buddha's great respect for us, respect for our ability to find the truth within ourselves. Hope to make this short, but I sometimes think that short by my standards may not be short by a small person's standards. So, another way that Buddhism is different is that it relies on our internal search, our internal listening, our internal asking of the question, what is good to do in a particular moment? And it, in some sense, trusts us to ask that question and hear the answer to that question within our own heart and mind. We ask that question with the faith that somehow what we have is sufficient to see the truth as it arises and to see what needs to be done in a particular moment. One of my teachers said, if you want to get enlightened and you drop something, pick it up. And what he's talking about is that very direct relationship to life. We drop something and there's a prompting within, oh, that needs to be picked up, and we pick it up. And that following of that prompting is, in some sense, the path to enlightenment. It doesn't mean that anything goes. Sometimes the prompting is, take that sixth piece of chocolate cake. It'll be okay. And we follow that, and then we experience the consequences. Again, part of the Buddha's trust and faith in us is that we, by looking within, we'll see the consequences of our actions and can learn from them. He makes that offering to us. There's a nice little poem which I was reminded of recently by Wendell Berry, American poet and author, called What We Need Is Here. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them to their way. Clear in the ancient faith, what we need is here. And we pray not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye clear. What we need is here. Oftentimes in our life, we might not feel like what we need is actually present. And if we can turn around and look within, apply the Buddha's teaching, we'll learn something, we will see something, we will clarify something. Maybe after we've eaten our sixth piece of chocolate cake, we're feeling ill and can't get out of bed and don't have the energy to do whatever. What we need is there. We get to see the consequences of our actions. Happily, part of the reality of life is that compassion, love, and wisdom also exist. And so in the midst of receiving consequences, whether they're positive or negative, we can bring kindness and compassion, love, and wisdom to our present experience. Part of what is here, even in the midst of experiencing difficult consequences, is the compassion of the Buddha, is the loving kindness of the Buddha. And if we are still and willing and look up, we can see that thing. We can hear that thing. We can encounter those things within ourselves. It takes work, but we can do that. What we need is here. There's this line from one of the scriptures which we did not sing today. Upon him may mankind rely. The Buddha is reliable. What the Buddha taught is reliable. He is a human being. He was a human being. There were times when he would get really bad headaches and he would turn over the Dharma seat, the teaching, to one of his disciples. Now, if you come into that situation with the expectation, oh, I really want to see the Buddha, and he's got a headache, and one of his disciples comes and is giving the Dharma talk, and you don't particularly like that teacher, then you might be disappointed and think, oh, the Buddha is unreliable. But really what he's saying is, in this, what the Buddha taught, the practice of the Buddha, what he pointed at, we can rely on, and we can rely on his reliance on that teaching. It's not an unrealistic reliance, it's the reliance of what Reverend Master Jiu used to call being a spiritual adult and taking responsibility for our circumstances and the reality of life. The Buddha is reliable, and the Dharma is reliable. One of the ways that we encounter the Dharma, well, the chief way that we encounter the Dharma is through the practice of all the people who have put the Dharma into practice before us. I think about the ancestral line that we recite every day in morning service, and that's one person passing the Dharma on to the next person down to the present age. Each one of those people, we might think there's the important thing, but really, the important thing are all the people around them who supported them and passed on the teaching with them. Each one of those people is, in a sense, a placeholder for the Sangha that surrounded and supported them. They happen to be the name on the paper, but there were thousands of people around them and supporting them. Each of us makes a contribution to the Dharma, makes a contribution to the practice. I really like our little altar here. Each one of us makes an offering, and that offering is really important. And that offering is what makes the reliable Dharma appear in the world. So part of what we're celebrating today isn't just the Buddha, but also all of us who have put the Dharma into practice, benefited from it, and made offerings to support the Dharma. So again, I thank you all for coming and enjoying Baisakh with us. It's really great to see you, and I appreciate it.